Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hey, Numerologist community, I'm Rose, and I'm thrilled to welcome you back to another episode of the Numerologist Podcast. Now, today I'm very excited about our guest because this episode is actually kicking off a big numerology series of episodes that will guide you through everything you need to know to use numerology to help you navigate your life and manifest your dreams. And it will be with this one guest. Now, you may actually recognize Roy Kirkland from our blog, as he's been our resident numerologist for a number of years. And if you've ever purchased one of our reports, you've definitely received a reading from him too. Roy Kirkland has been a lucid dreamer with an interest in the esoteric sciences since early childhood. His practice in these ancient systems now spans several decades, and I'm so excited to talk to him today about numerology. Hi, Roy. Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast.
Hey, how are you?
Really well, thank you. So, without further ado, I just want to get into the numerology of 2020. So a lot of people are asking on our socials at the minute, you know, what is 2020? What is the numerology of it? And did the numbers foretell that, you know, the first 6 months of 2020 were going to be the way they were? And really, I suppose that's a double pronged question. What does it mean for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of answers to this question, because 2020 through most of next year as well has been a landmark year in astrology. Okay, so numerology alone is a little bit different because we're working with a specific calendar. Okay, now what happens is that a lot of people who work with this calendar and do something like numerology and studying cycles found out a while ago that during 2020, we get a convergence of different identified cycles that have been calculated by experts in these scientific groups that study patterns in the world. And it so happens that we're in the center of, or the strongest point of a social unrest cycle, an economic problem cycle, and also in a what used to be called the plague cycles, okay? So in other words, all these things are coming together exactly as was predicted by astrology, but because we're using the calendar alone and not pure numbers based on the cycles, a lot of this is not covered by numerology. You see, and on top of that, numerology is designed mostly for personal situations, for the personal life. In other words, when we say that, oh, this is like a 4 year, that's fine, but with 2020 being equal to four, but it may not be a 4 year for one person in terms of their personal years. And these are all the things that need to be considered when we're looking at this. So in other words, a 4 year generally carries the vibrations that affect business. Work becomes harder. It affects the foundations of life. In a person's life, the foundations of life in general, things like wellness, you know, on a mass scale, tends to be challenged during a 4 year, because this is what four does, you know. Things of this nature, with economics, it's like working harder or changes at work or something like that, especially during the months in which a number that four has a hard time coping with come along, and especially if those numbers are reflected in a person's personal numerology chart, you see? because everything in numerology is based on the personal chart. Once we start expanding up into world numerology, we start getting into a really complicated subject that goes way over a lot of people's heads. So to try to keep it simple and within a general case, which is what the year number is, to try to keep it within a general case and to try to keep it as something that everyone would see as an indication of this 4 year is very, very difficult. Okay.
Yeah.
So, so the reason a lot of people didn't get what they expected is, first of all, because we're looking at a number that's associated with the world, as opposed to looking at a number that's associated with one personally. And because this is such a difficult world, difficult year for the world in general, it's going to be difficult in a different way to each person according to the numbers in their personal chart, you see.
Mm-hmm. And Roy, it actually reminds me of astrology as well, because a lot of people have an easier time sort of recognizing their zodiac sign and those kinds of things. So this same sort of this year is a 4 year is kind of a broad level, you know, this is a theme that everybody would see. But if you break it down to, okay, say, for example, if you're a Pisces, you wouldn't necessarily experience that the same way as an Aries may. But and that's the same with your personal numerology chart, isn't it? So
absolutely.
So let's look at personal years. What are personal years?
Well, personal years are very interesting because in modern numerology, of course, most people start with your life path number. I'm a little bit of a renegade when it comes to that. I start with the achievement number because the life path number is the first personal year, okay? Now, personal years run in cycles of nine. And according to the month and day of birth, we just add the year number, and that tells us what the personal year is. Okay, so a person who's in a one cycle, for instance, is probably born on some date like October the 6th, or because if you add the 10 and the 6, then we get 7. You see, we get 16, which reduces to 7. And or somebody's born on something like January the 6th, you know, same case, 7. 7 plus the 4 for the 2020 is equal to 11, which is equal to 2, you see. So that means that they're having a 2 year. This is a year in which any of the challenges of 4 is likely to upset their relationships, you see. It may also upset them financially in that the relationships with people, other people at work, including the bosses or the owners of the company that they work for, could be challenged. We might be seeing this particular outcome amongst a lot of people who've been asked to work at home. You see? So in other words, the personal year is simply an individual cycle that's controlled by the achievement number in your chart, which again is your month and day of birth added up. And for people who add up their month and days to the karmic numbers or master numbers like 11 and 22 or 33 even, what happens is that when we start calculating personal years, we reduce that down because the interpretation is basically the same, but finding what year you're in within that 9 year cycle is absolutely the same. So it gets to be quite a complicated subject, but it's easy to understand once you do it a few times.
Absolutely. It's funny because we're talking about the collective universal year and then the personal year. It seems like, you know, every way you look, you can sort of go one step further and one step further and one step further to sort of understand how the year is going to play out for you. And that's, I suppose that's true of, you know, if you look then further down to the months as well. We've been talking a lot at numerology at the minute about how June 2020 is a one universal month. So it's almost like this cosmic reset. So, you know, the first 5 months of 2020 have been a bit crazy. And like we said, not that a lot of people have expected. But this one universal month feels like, you know, things are on the change a bit, and that's probably true for the astrology of it as well. I was talking to an astrologer the other day who was telling me about how this eclipse season is all about change. So what does that mean in numerology? What does this month mean?
Well, it's a little bit different because eclipse season's one thing, and believe me, that's a subject that even today only a few people in the world have really understood and grasped what these eclipses can do. But in numerology, it's a lot simpler. When we get to a month that, say, for instance, a 1 month, it can mean a new beginning, it can mean a new start. It can mean a radical change or a breakthrough in some sort of problem. Be stubborn and slow moving at times, whereas one is quick to act and impulsive. And so these two things coming together in the social sense create a kind of a clash, okay? Create a bit of a clash. In other words, we've got the wall, which is the four, and we've got the big wrecking ball that's coming down to knock it apart, which is the one. It doesn't always happen this way, but because of other reasons, we see the social cycle as being the most active at this time. Now, at the same time, there are companies introducing vaccines for the virus that basically the world has, and they've already started testing some, and in China some have been tested, and in other countries around the world there's some that have been tested. So this could have to do with the breakthrough in that angle of what this year has brought. Okay, so the economy, I don't even want to get into that because that's a mess. You know, it's interesting to me too that the that because of the COVID virus, the lockdown, and the COVID virus, the lockdown, and the social unrest that's going on right now, nobody is really talking about the debt crisis and the banking crisis that's happening all over the world. You know, when a very complicated and long-winded subject on that, and knowing a little bit about it, it's easy for me to go off. But what I'm going to say is that it's very interesting to me that the number four would rule banks. Banks used to be the foundation of the economy. They're big square stone buildings. All of this is foolish in nature. And now here it comes, a year in which we have all these fours. We have this powerful four energy in the calendars, and it's just at a time where they're finding out that the way they've been doing things is no longer stable. You know, is no longer reliable, that things are beginning to fall apart and they don't know what to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Because of their stubbornness of taking so much government money and asking for them to print more money and so on and so forth. This all causes inflation. They don't know how to deal. It's gotten to the point where they're all running around scratching their heads right now in the world of banking. In the world of international banking, at that. So four is things like the economy, the banking system, the money system, things like home building and so on and so forth are also in a down cycle. So, you know, buildings in general come under the number four. That's why they often call it the builder. Okay, and 22, the master builder.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even think about the master number of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've also got people popping up as great architects of the future. You know, people like Elon Musk, for instance, shot off the first privately owned and built rocket with people going to the space station, okay, going to the International Space Station. Now, if that's not a foreign situation, I don't know what it is, because he would describe himself as an architect of the future if he knew the language, if he had that particular thought in his mind.
Yeah,
very busy guy and doesn't think that much about how he's coming off with his statements. You can see that by his podcast on Joe Rogan.
I did watch that. Very interesting.
With the t-shirt and, and the slip or whatever they're calling it these days. Then Bill Gates. How about Bill Gates? You know, he's gotten so involved in it. He's designed this chip that could be implanted in people's bodies and become literally a part of, you know, your physical being, that would identify, that would slow release the antidote for the virus, you know, the vaccine. There's another one they have planned in which they're planning to do chips that carry all your information. So instead of actually carrying a physical ID or credit card, you can just swipe your hand across a terminal and it'll give up whatever the person who owns the terminal wants to find out about you. You know, which would be handy for medical purposes, but, you know, people abuse everything that comes along in technology. So we have Bill Gates as another architect of the future. And even the president of the United States here, we see him talking about how fast we'll rebuild and how we can work together to make America great again. That's a forest statement if I ever heard one, because it's about building the future on the foundations of the past. You see what I mean? And all of these things are four things that are going on in the world right now. So it's unusual.
Yeah, Roy, what you're saying there really sort of, I feel like, could bring hope to a lot of people, because, you know, on the entrepreneurs of the world, you know, we've seen a lot more entrepreneurs getting into business and there's a lot more opportunity there. Even though, you know, everything's going on this year, how it is, and there's the unrest and there's the economic downfall and all those kinds of things, it feels like the four is actually giving those people who do want to be, like you say, the architects of the future, it's giving those people the opportunity to build those foundations to move forward with that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also for everyday people. It offers opportunities. Look at all the people who have had to make a drudgery out of dragging themselves into an office building and sitting in stale air-conditioned air for 8 hours a day for years and years and years, and now they get the opportunity to work at home and have their laundry running while they're making their, you know, whatever amount of money a week and so on. And now the companies are saying, well, you don't have to come back to the office really if you don't want to. And what are they going to do with all that office space? So now we find empty buildings but happier people.
Absolutely.
So for everyday individuals, the four has its benefits. For one thing, four is a number that is often very concerned with wellness. So when we have a 4 year, people tend to be more concerned with wellness, and that naturally follows upon the idea of looking into personal wellness, getting checked up or checked out in order to see what you can do to help manage, which is another four key word, management, to help manage your own well-being. This is a tremendous opportunity to do that despite the ugliness on the surface. You see what I mean? In other words, it's like a diamond hidden within a piece of coal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we've been talking about this today, what it reminds me of is, you know, we're given at the beginning of the year, no matter what our sort of numerology, and even with our numerology taken into consideration, we're given this theme of, okay, you know, it's a four, so it'll mean these specific themes. But do you think that a lot of, okay, that's how it manifested, is a sort of a hindsight thing? Because nobody could have really predicted what was going to happen this year, right?
Not with numerology anyway. Alexander Volgin, French astrologer, he had predicted this kind of viral plague or epidemic or pandemic or whatever you want to call it back in the last quarter of the 20th century. Okay, wow. Just on the basis of the cycles of Jupiter and Pluto. At the same time, when we say there's a four-year coming up in the future, like what's going to be the next one, 2029? When 2029 comes, it doesn't mean that it's going to manifest the same aspects of four, you see. And what we can see, though, is that having gone through this part of four, at the beginning of this cycle of fours that's going on, things will be very different by then, not just because of different changes that are happening in the, world, but because of the way people will be attending to their own numerology charts and responding to this four in a different way. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, when you're looking at the individual, you can predict easily things for the individual, but when you try to predict for the whole world at one time, it becomes a lot more difficult. And that's just the opposite of astrology, by the way. When astrology is on point, it's much easier to predict large-scale events than it is to predict individual events.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we've talked about the numerology of the year, and we've talked about June being a one universal month. What about days? Mm-hmm. Are there any numerologically, I don't know if that's the word, significant days ahead?
Well, you know, when you look at, well, first of all, everybody has certain days that are good for their birthday. But if you know your achievement number and you can calculate what the month is for you, the personal month is for you, then the days are easy because you just figure out which ones are the ones that are best for friendship with the one. Now, in general, when we look at the general case situation, it's a lot harder to do because we're not sure how the person's going to respond to the energy, because that's mostly what the chart shows, your response to the energy that is out there according to your attitude as to how proactive you can be about your own experience in the world. But in a 1 month, generally, the days like the 9th, the 18th, and the 27th are days on which you can expect there to be either or decisions that usually have to do with something extreme. In other words, you either let the bad guy go, or you destroy him and everyone he knows. You know, extreme decisions are usually the results of a 19 on the 19th day of the first month of a 1 month. Okay, the 27th day is a little bit different because the 27th is comprised of 2 and 7. Both of which are fairly mild numbers. These are thinkers' days, you know. So during June, if you're studying it from the standpoint of general astrology, we can look for some more compassionate and intelligent decisions to be made near the end of the month, by government and so on and so forth, and that more radical decisions and more extreme decisions are made around now, around the middle of the month, You see what I mean? This is generally the approach that one should take when looking at how the best and worst days for you. Another way of looking at it is to look at the fact that in numerology, we have a relationship to the planets, and you know the days belong to the planets, or work with the planets. So for right now in this 1 month in four, in a 4 year, what we need to look at is that we need to look at the news that comes through on Monday, on Thursday, and on Wednesday and Thursday. So Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays during this month will probably give us better or more helpful news or opportunities for us as people as a whole to do things. And of course, we've got this eclipse season going on right now. So as we get into July, and the eclipse season is still running, most important thing to do during an eclipse season is to meditate, not make any radical decisions, especially about relationships. It's the absolute worst time to make a final decision about relationships with other people. It's also not very good for making financial decisions, like to start a new business and so on. Of course, one is a number of new beginnings, but when that one comes along with an eclipse season, you're probably going to start things a little too soon or want to change your mind later and can't do it, okay? This is astro-numerology, though, and not pure numerology. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of things I think about when I'm talking to people about the subject.
Just talk about that, Roy. How interlinked are astrology and numerology?
Well, let's put it this way. There are a lot of people in India and a few here in the West, in England and America, that work with the two of them together. There are actually astrological cycles built into the canon of numerology, okay? In other words, we have cycles that cover the zodiac signs, we have cycles that cover the planets, cycles that figure out which days are best for each planet and what that planet has to do with your numerology chart. There's a lot to astro-numerology. In other words, they're sister sciences. As a matter of fact, the original numerology alphabet conversion that we use in the English language was originally developed in England, in Italy, in Latin, by a German scholar named Agrippa. And when he developed this alphabet, it was mostly for the purpose of making these magic squares, these number magic squares, which is another advanced topic in numerology. And these things were used to identify the names and the powers of the angels, of the planets, and so on and so forth. So astrology and numerology are brother and sister. And as you can imagine, there's a lot missing in the astrology world and in the numerology world to show how they combine. For instance, in a personal numerology chart, we have these patterns called the life path cycles. We break the life path up into three pieces. And, one for the day, one for the month, one for the year, okay? And the way we separate them by time in your life is that we run the closest number one year to the return of the progressed moon in the natal horoscope. Okay, so it's based on the moon. When we study the pinnacles, that becomes a little bit different because that's purely arithmetic or numerology when we do those calculations. But here we have two cycles, one of them based on astrology, and one of them that's purely numerology, working together to unfold the life path in a way that it demonstrates what a person can expect at different times in their lives. Very, very interesting method, you see. And even the personal years, well, you know, we start our personal years on January the 1st, which is an arbitrary calendar day, you know, an arbitrarily fixed calendar date. I personally believe that the year used to begin on the winter solstice. In fact, it does in some calendars around the world. But they moved it to January 1st, I guess, maybe because they decided they put Christmas at the winter solstice. But Saturnalia was completely wiped from the public memory, you know, since the Roman Empire fell. But nevertheless, what we see here is that in the name numbers, okay, we have a way of breaking up the alphabet and showing what time the different letters in your name change in order to give us individual and composite cycles that we use for prediction as well. And these change on the birthday. Now, the birthday in astrology is used to calculate the solar return, which is an annual chart that goes for a year and lasts until the next year. Also, the achievement number, the month and day, will tell a good astrologer exactly or approximately what degree of a sign you were born into. And this can tell a lot if you don't know a whole horoscope or something like that. Is, oh, he's in the first decan. Oh, it looks like he's in this lunar mansion. Maybe if he's born on this day, we can figure out his rising sign if we just know the approximate time. Things like that. You know, there are a lot of coincidences. I'll tell you, when I was first studying astrology decades ago, I used to be amazed at the number coincidences in the calculations. In those days, we didn't have a computer program to calculate the charts for us. And in doing them by hand, I'd sometimes be paralyzed and have to stop and go take a break for a few minutes to wonder why. Why all these fours? Why all these fours? And then in numerology, you begin to see the same thing, these numbers gravitating toward one another and separating from one another, and how there might be a little of this and a lot of that, and what that means in the personal character. Like, I know someone who has all these ones, a whole bunch of ones, and basically no fives in their chart. And you'd be amazed at how dynamic and forward thinking and so on this person is, but they just don't have the feeling that they're free enough to really be themselves. You know, they do everything by tradition and so on and so forth. They just don't feel free to explore, you know, different things in the universe, different things they'd like to do. Mm-hmm. All they can think about is sticking with being the best, of sticking with the traditions of like family and culture and so on and so forth. This abundance versus lack and the different intermeshing of the numbers is what fascinates me about numerology. Mm-hmm. Like absolutely. I mentioned before, we talk about the universal year. Well, what if we took the universal year and took the month and day of a nation's birth, so to speak, either the foundation of the government, which is what most people use, or the traditional date like they use in America and a few other places, and we just added the four to that and found out how that universal number affects the whole nation. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? And then we come down to different social groups and cultures, and we do the numbers on cities and so on. Yeah. It's a fascinating subject, but it goes into a great degree of detail.
Absolutely. And, you know, before we started this podcast, I knew 40 minutes wouldn't be enough to talk about it. So what I'll do, I want to invite the listeners listening to this to write a comment below wherever you're listening to this, if you're on the podcast or on YouTube or on social, write a comment with your questions, because Roy and I may end up doing another podcast and working together a bit more. And we've actually spoken about so many different calculations. I just wanted to let people know that they can go to video.numerologist.com to get their free numerology report, which basically goes into detail about the core numbers in their numerology chart. And if that's not enough for you, you can actually get our Deluxe Numerology report too. And Roy, I believe you wrote the content for that.
Yeah. Although the last time I saw one, it was a little bit different from what I had originally started with. But that's okay. You know, yeah, the idea comes across. You know, the 100%. Idea comes through. And there's one other thing I would like to say, is that we should do these more often, mm-hmm. so that we can cover smaller topics in
Absolutely.
More detail. Because it's, like I said, numerology is kind of the opposite of astrology, in that astrology goes from the big main world picture down to the individual, whereas numerology starts at the universal, at the individual, and works outward toward the universal. So it's important for people to understand their own charts, and we can talk about these different chart elements and so on and so forth whenever you want.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that offer. So folks, you heard it here first. Roy is there to answer your biggest questions. So let us know what questions you've got, and we'll do a whole podcast segment on each individual thing, because I feel like we could talk for hours and hours about this topic, Roy.
Yeah, well, I could. Believe me.
All right, well.
Call me Mr. TMI.
I love it. I love it. Makes my job as an interviewer much easier. All right. Well, Roy, until next time, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to rant about the numbers.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe, and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.